Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
And welcome to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from my place in the North Bethesda / Rockville, Maryland area, where it is outside, I'm going to guess, 94, inside a cool 68, maybe 69, something like that. And I literally walked in the door about 2 minutes before my buddy Don, the producer of our show, called to get the show going, so the timing was great. And I'm indoors, and it's nice and cool, and I get to talk to you wonderful folks for an hour and talk about how to get the junk out of your home and also out of your life. And that's what we do here on the world's longest-running junk removal radio show. I'm here to tell you, I've been in this business 20 years, the junk removal guys out there and gals, the junk removal folks out there are not exactly lining up to do radio shows. So that's kind of cool because it gives us a niche that nobody else is really doing much in, at least as far as I know. And we're proud of that because it gives us something to do and sets us apart in some ways, and it's just a lot of fun. Hats off to the BBS Radio Network as well. They do a great job. You can listen to the show live on bbsradio.com. I always say that's boyscoutradio.com. And we are thrilled to be here. If you have a question for the show about junk removal of any type, call 888-627-6008. I'm particularly interested today, which we'll talk about later in the show, if you are involved or have been involved in a common law marriage, call me because I would love to just pick your brain a little bit and understand more about what one of those is. 888-627-6008. Again, if you have any experience or if you know somebody that has some experience with common law marriages, call me because this is something new that I ran into a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to find out a little bit about it. Okay, so first, in the order that I wrote this down for the show today, I've got a couple of things here on the list that I want to talk about. The first one is what's called a Burger King issue. You will remember and have probably seen a bunch of commercials where a guy named Tom, who is the CEO of Burger King, is talking about how they're trying to revamp themselves and change a few things, and they fired the king, and now you're the king when you go to Burger King, and they're talking about, you know, the Whoppers and how they're making sure all the Whoppers are up to snuff and are in great shape and et cetera. And Tom, bless his little heart, had the guts to post on TV his phone number, his cell number, and he basically invited people to call him, and he got 85,000 calls, according to the commercials. His number, by the way, his name's Tom, his number's 305-874-0520. I copied it. I had to see the commercial a couple of times to get all the digits, but because they don't flash it up there very long. But that is the number that flashed up on the screen. So I have, and this is under, because this is a junk removal radio show, this is under the column of how to get some of the junk out of your business, okay? I wrote down here the Burger King issue. You know that you'll go to McDonald's or Wendy's or some of these places and you'll buy something. You'll buy a meal. They give you the receipt. On the receipt, it says, take our little survey and we'll send you a code to give you a free Big Mac, right? And so that's the idea. Well, I happened to look at my Burger King receipt recently because I am not a Whopper, you know, guy that goes in there and says, hey, give me like six Whoppers. I go in and get the original chicken sandwich number 8 with onion rings, and they used to serve actual slices of apple pie, which I always enjoyed. They stopped doing that, but I think that's their best sandwich, is their chicken sandwich. It's kind of shaped like a rectangular with rounded corners, you know, hot dog, but it's bigger than that. You know, the bun is shaped that way, and it's really good. But I went and bought one of those lunches, and then I just happened to look at the receipt. And the receipt says, and I'm going by memory here. I don't have one in front of me. I tried to see if I kept it so I could read it to you. But the receipt says, take a moment to take our survey online, and we'll give you a free Whopper. Just buy a small drink and a small fry at the same time. And I'm going, then that's not a free Whopper. So you're not giving me a free Whopper. You're giving me a Whopper if I give you more money and I have to buy, I think it may have even said any size, but at least a small size, drink and fry. What's that, $5 maybe between the two of them? And then you get a free Whopper. Well, I'm sorry, Tom, with all due respect, but the Whopper isn't free if that's what you're doing. The Whopper is available. You won't charge me for the Whopper, so maybe that's why you're calling it a free Whopper, but I have to give you $5 more first, plus give you my time to fill out your stupid survey. Now, the word stupid is not aimed at Burger King. I just think all these surveys where these companies ask their customers to take their time to fill out a survey and do what they're, et cetera, and then in this case, you don't get anything for free. You have to buy a small fry, and you have to buy at least a small soda, and then they'll give you a Whopper. Well, that's baloney. That's backwards. And so I'm going to call Tom or text him on his cell phone and just make mention of this with a photo of the receipt and say, look, if you're giving away a free Whopper, then take away the fry and the drink requirement, because it's not free. It comes with a price. And nobody likes to be, you know, taken advantage of, but nobody likes to be a sitting duck, a captive audience, where you think something's going to happen, and lo and behold, it doesn't. I went and did some work for a guy one time who, an older guy who lived across the street from a really nice public golf course in Montgomery County, Maryland. And he said, hey, we're doing a big blood drive this afternoon. If you go over and give blood, they'll give you a free round of golf at this prestigious golf club. Well, I trusted the guy. At lunchtime, I went across the street. They strapped me in. I gave, you know, what, a quarter pint or something, a pint of blood or something. They gave me some cookies and some crackers and some lemonade on the way out. And then they gave me a little certificate that says, come to the golf course with 3 paying customers, and we'll give you a round of golf for free. So now what they're doing is using me to get more paying customers to come to their golf course. And if I round up 3 guys who are going to pay, they'll let me play for free. You think I'm going to do that to my friends? No, I'm not. So don't call it a free round of golf when it's not. So if you have any you know, and we're talking about how to get the junk out of your business here, but if you have any issues here that you have about Burger King, call or text Tom, CEO. His number, according to the TV screen, 305-874-0520. They've given that number out nationwide. And give him your thoughts about how to make Burger King a better place. I will mention Qdoba. I love to go to Qdoba because they say if you take our survey, and the survey is not very long, that's critical. It's got to be a quick survey. If you take our survey, we'll give you free chips and salsa. I've done that half a dozen times, and as soon as I'm done online with their, or just answering their email, taking their survey, whammo, I get an email with the code, and it also shows up on my phone in my account, my Qdoba account, so that when I go in there the next time, it says, oh, you have free chips and salsa. That's the way to do it. Don't require me to buy something, or your issue for a free Whopper is not that. And your credibility drops again. The exact opposite of what Tom's trying to accomplish is to raise your credibility. But it drops when you tell me it's a free Whopper, but then I have to pay some money to get it. Okay? That's point number one of 15 that I have down here written for today. So here we go. I want you to learn something. Number two, learn something from a guy named Leonard. Leonard is a really good guy who over the years has called me to go pick up some scrap metal from what turns out to be his brother's home, his deceased brother's home, that the family is trying to get ready for sale. Leonard, bless his heart, is over there as a one-man show trying to get this home ready for sale. And every day that goes by, Leonard falls more another day behind. I'm mentioning this not to attack Leonard, but just to basically say, step back and be aware of the big picture here. Because what Leonard's trying to do is go through everything that's in this house, find the documents that need to be found, sort things out. And when he goes through and ends up with a pickup truck of junk room of metal for us to remove, he calls me and I go over and we pick it up and we haul it away. That's fine. But at the pace that he's going, it's going to take him 6 or 7 years to get this house ready to be shown for sale, and the realtor wants it done in the next month. Leonard believes that he and a high school kid and a dumpster can clear this house out, no problem. And I'm here to tell you, there's no high school kid in the world that's going to continue to run stuff out the back door, up the hill, around the front, throw it in the dumpster, come back, and keep doing that day after day after day, right? That's, with all due respect to the high school kids, I mean, that's going to wear the kid out. Leonard is of an age that he's not going to be a lot of help getting it there. And he took me in there and he said, you know, I want to ask you about these file cabinets. There are probably a dozen metal file cabinets that are in the basement, back in the middle of the house. You have to walk down this kind of area and this area and down this hallway and through this door to get to them. But none of those file cabinets can be brought out of the house because there's too much crap in the hallways leading to where the file cabinets are. So it's nice that you're worried about the file cabinets, but you got to get rid of all the crap that's in the hallways that leads to the file cabinets before we can help you get the file cabinets out. And even if you hired a junk removal company with two or three guys to go in there full time, it's going to take at least a week to clean this place out and probably more like 10 days. It's a three-level home. His brother was a hoarder. There's all kinds of stuff in the house. And I'm telling you, one guy, Superman, with one teenager and a dumpster couldn't get this done fast enough. So I mention this story not to attack Leonard, because bless his heart, he's just trying to do his best to help his deceased brother's estate get taken care of. But Leonard doesn't realize that he is the bottleneck in the process now. You have to get Leonard out of the way in order to make progress, because every day that goes by, Leonard falls farther and farther behind. So bless his heart, Leonard's not helping you with junk removal. Leonard is making it more difficult. And if you tell that to Leonard, he'll probably get ticked off. But that's my assessment. So don't be the Leonard. If somebody passes away or somebody has to downsize or somebody gets divorced and you're the person in the best position to get the stuff out of the house, recognize the big picture that you don't have time to go in there and find every little document that somebody's brought into this home over the last 40 years. And then try and figure out what to do with it. It'll take you a year just to go through and try and find all the documents. So don't be the bottleneck in your family's process of trying to get a home sold. Let the pros, like 1-800-JUNK-REFUND or any of the other companies, let them come in and do their thing and get the stuff out of there and, in our case, sell the good stuff or donate the stuff or something, not just throw it in a dumpster. But don't be the bottleneck that causes the slowdown here. For those of you that are soccer fans, issue number 3, how to get the junk off your soccer team. Far be it from me, by the way, to be a credible critic of soccer as a sport or the people who play it or the coaches who coach it. I'm one of these guys who likes to play golf, and I like to watch golf, and I'm a tennis player, and I like to watch tennis. Some people, you couldn't pay them to watch golf. It's too boring for them, right? Well, up until the World Cup this year, you couldn't really pay me to watch soccer either. It was just too boring, especially when the offensive team starts kicking the ball backwards towards their own goalie, so I guess they can reset and start over again. Can you imagine in an NBA game if LeBron James brought the ball into forecourt and then turned around and dribbled back to the opposite end of the court, turned around, looked at the defensive setup at the far end of the court, and then started to slowly walk it back up again towards his basket where he's trying to score? You see that point? I didn't really like that. I'm kind of going, why are they doing this? But here's what's happened. I said to myself, you know, in the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City, where they've played some of these World Cup matches, that stadium, I think, holds 120,000 people, something like that. And I'm here saying to myself, 120,000 Mexicans can't be wrong. I mean, sorry, but there's a reason why they pay to go to that stadium. I Googled how many goals are scored in a typical World Cup soccer match. The answer is 2.8. How long is the match? At least 90 minutes. So you're going to see one goal scored every half hour, right? You know, that's like watching Everybody Loves Raymond and you get one joke every half hour or something. You know what I mean? To me, that's kind of boring, but it is the world's most popular sport. The World Cup is the world's most popular soccer tournament. There's got to be something here that I'm missing. So I started to watch. And I watched, you know, complete matches. And I you know, the penalty kicks thing is always a blast. That gets exciting. And I tried to understand more about what's going on. What are they trying to do? And what I started to realize is how fast that soccer ball moves, especially down around the goal when you're trying to score. I also realized how good those players have to be to know, should I do a header? Should I bounce it off my chest? Should I kick it with my foot? Should I be upside down when I kick it with my foot? I mean, that ball really is moving quick when they're trying to score. And I love the concept that you seem to know right where your teammates are all the time, right? I mean, that's an amazing thing. As a tennis player, if you play singles, you only need to know where you are and where your opponent is. If you play doubles, there's only two of you that you have to kind of keep an eye on. Four at the most if you're watching the guys on the other side of the net. But when you're playing soccer with 10, with 11 guys on your team and 11 on the other team, that's, you got to be pretty good to know where to kick that ball so that your teammate can score or be in a position. So I'm really impressed with the teamwork that goes on. And I'm going to tell you some more things about it. We're going to take our first break here for a minute and come back on the Junk Refund Show. I'm going to tell you what I thought of the U.S. men's national team's performance in the game as they got eliminated in, and talk a little bit more about soccer. That takes us to item number 3 out of 15, so I'm going to have to hurry up, but we're okay. I'll see you back here in about a minute. I'm Alan Cook, the host of the Junk Refund Show. You're listening to us live on the BBS Radio Network, the world's longest-running junk removal radio show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Rockville, Maryland, in the cool inside of my place here, which is 68 degrees, and outside it's like 143. No, it's like 92 or something outside right now. So this feels great. I get to come in and talk to what I think is 49 nations through this network and around the U.S. To talk about how to get the junk out of your home and also out of your life, which brings me to the U.S. men's national team. God bless them for the victories they got in the early rounds. When they got to the round of, 16 or something, I don't even remember who they're playing right now. I just can't remember. Belgium, maybe? I don't remember. But they lost 4-1. And the thing that was amazing to me is that there just seemed to be no intensity on the part of the U.S. team. They would get, and I assume it's called midfield, right? Four of them are out there kicking the ball back and forth between themselves at midfield for minute after minute after minute, and they're down, at the time, they were down 2 goals. And it was like no urgency. And they take a shot of the coach, and he's sitting back in his chair over on the sidelines. And I'm going, where's the coach that's up on the sideline yelling at the players to do something different? Or where's the coach that substitutes four new midfielders so somebody at least is trying to attack and score? And Belgium, if it was Belgium, I think it was, they're sitting back looking at the clock tick away going, man, this is easy, you know? And I'm kind of going, you guys are playing in Seattle, Washington on U.S. soil. Why in the world aren't you trying to win this by being aggressive? And I get it. It was very frustrating to sit here and watch the clock tick off. And these guys are just passing the ball around at midfield. I'm going, give me the guy that takes the ball and at least starts to move in the direction of the goal. Something. Give me something. Somebody that's trying to pull this off and win. And far be it from me as a real novice soccer fan to know how to critique this, but I do have my own opinion. And my opinion is you need a coach who fires this team up and it's got some passion on the sidelines. This guy just sits back in the chair and watches, probably counting, double-checking his banking account every other minute. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I heard he was a pretty good guy they brought in, and a lot of money was spent. But for heaven's sakes, on your home soil, try to win, boys. I mean, that was an embarrassment to sit here and just watch this happen, and the clock ticks away, and you're just passing the ball around at midfield. I mean, I don't remember the stats of how many shots on goal we had, but it was nowhere close to Belgium's, and we ended up losing 4-1. So I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the coach. I was disappointed in the players. I was disappointed in the lack of intensity. I was embarrassed as an American that those are our best professional soccer players out there, and it looks like they're not trying to win. And I'm sure there's more to the story than what I see because I'm the rookie here. Not the veteran, but I'm telling you, that bugged me, and I want to see at least somebody passing the ball down towards the goal to try and get some kind of something started to try to score. I mean, why are you out on the field if you're not trying to score? I don't understand. So if you're a soccer aficionado, feel free to call in the show and educate me. I'd be happy to take your call. 888-627-6008. Anyway, that was my take on the U.S. national men's team, who are, yes, you guessed it, out of the World Cup. And the finals are being played on our home turf, right? All right, let me bring you to another issue. Number 4, scrap metal pricing. I just want to make sure you understand where the value is in scrap metal, because you'll have scrap metal around your home, on a job site, at work, that you might be able to get your hands on, take it to your local metal recycling yard, and they will buy it from you. The scrap metal dealers will buy this from you. The county dumps will not. They will just let you dump it, usually for free. But I want you to understand the difference in the pricing of the different metals that are out there. In Montgomery County, Maryland, if we take some steel, just regular steel or regular metal, you know it's regular metal. If you take a little magnet, you stick it next to the metal and the magnet sticks, then you know it's metal, right? If you take it and put it up to brass or copper or aluminum or stainless steel, the magnet will not stick. Those metals are worth more. Let me give you the range. From the bottom going up, steel in Montgomery County, they pay us 6 cents a pound. So I've got to go in there with 1,000 pounds of metal in order to make $60. Cast iron, they'll pay me 10 cents a pound. You know, the cast iron tubs that you see in some of these old homes or some of these big sewage and drainage pipes that are really heavy because of the thick metal, those are cast iron. They'll pay you 10 cents a pound. Stainless steel, the stuff that you'll see in kitchens with cookware and the stuff that restaurants use for a lot of their equipment, about 20 cents a pound. Aluminum, like the aluminum frames on bicycles or the aluminum edges of screens and screen doors and some doors. Some golf clubs are made of aluminum. The little handheld cordless drills, those are made of some aluminum. All that kind of stuff. So it's called dirty aluminum. And you'll get 23 cents a pound. That's now four times what you'll get paid for steel if you have some aluminum. If the aluminum is clean, like we have a customer called Closet America, goes around and redoes your closets for you in the Mid-Atlantic area. They're constantly cutting steel rods and clean aluminum rods for the customization to be used in the closets that their crews are going to go out and remodel. We go by about once a week and pick up all the big buckets of big trash cans of metal strips and aluminum strips. The metal strips, they give us 6 cents a pound for. The clean aluminum strips, where it is pure, clean aluminum with no other metal mixed in, 46 cents a pound. You're now getting almost eight times as much money for a pound of clean aluminum as you get for steel, right? So it's worth separating it out. Extension cords. I can't remember for sure what they pay for extension cords. I should know because I do a lot of this, but if we go to the scrapyard and we have an iron and it's got an extension cord, we cut off the cord because we're going to be paid more because that cord has copper wire in it, and we're going to get paid more for it. Problem is, I should know exactly what that is. I don't know what it is. I don't remember if it's 20 cents a pound or if it's like 60 or 70 cents a pound, but it's worth cutting it off of the aluminum. Clean wire, like when you go into a commercial building and they've done some remodeling and they bought too much wire and they have rolls and rolls of this thick copper wire that is insulated copper wire that they've never touched. That stuff is more like gold. That's like a couple of dollars a pound for that wire. So keep an eye out for clean wire. Brass, a lot of lamps are made of brass. A lot of knobs on dressers and other things are made of brass. Brass, you get about $1.20 a pound. That is 20 times what they will pay you for steel, $1.20 a pound. And then you have these air conditioning units that are like, that have radiator type, I'm calling it apparatus or screens inside of them. If you end up with one of these radiator or a window air conditioner or some kind of a cooling system for a home, you know, that's worth taking apart because inside you have copper wire. You have a kind of a condenser unit that is very heavy that I think gets you about 20 or 25 cents a pound. The copper wire and the copper tubing will get you about $4 a pound. And then they have this radiator screening stuff. It looks like the radiator from a car that are easy to take off. You get these in window air conditioning units, in heating and cooling air conditioning units. You take those babies off and just separate that out. It's kind of easy to do with a cordless, you know, drill. You can unscrew it really quick. Those things get you a couple of dollars a pound. And then if you're lucky and you get your hands on some clean copper tubing or copper pipe, right now about $5 a pound for that copper. So I met a guy the other day in the scrap metal yard. I went in there with a 16-foot stake body truck. He went in there with a child's, what do we call it? A child's carrier or a, it's on, what do we, oh gosh, I just went blank. It's on wheels, right? You put a little kid in it, a stroller. He went in there with a child's stroller and with a medium-sized piece of luggage. And in the medium-sized piece of luggage, he had copper pipes all cut up and in there. In the child's stroller, he had more copper and copper wire in bags, kind of sitting there in the child's stroller. He turned that in. I went in with my big truck and probably came out with, maybe, let's say, $100. He went in with the stroller and the medium-sized suitcase and got $330 because it was all copper, right? So just so you know, you know, things are not all valued all the same, which is, you know, not the greatest statement anybody's ever made, but that is true. And if you're looking for a way to make some extra money, or you're dealing with metal and wire, just be aware of where the value is in these different types of metals, and get a little magnet and stick it on this different types of metal. And if it sticks to the metal, that's going to pay you the least. If it doesn't stick to the metal, that's a good sign, because it's going to be worth more, and you can run it in there and make some money, make some extra money, and you don't have to have a big truck. You can walk in there with a bucket with some copper in it or some brass or whatever. You'd be surprised how much money you can make cash out the door right then. So speaking of cash, I'm now number five. This is the most recent thing that I did just before this radio show. I sold four BMW tires on rims for $280. Let me tell you what I learned. I originally had them priced at $1,500 because I went online to see what BMW tires are selling for. What I didn't know until this buyer came by and showed me is that on each tire, there's a little code on there that tells you what year and month it was made. So it will say 0416. So that tire was made in April of 2016. These tires that I had said 0704. So they were made in 2004. These are 20-year-old tires. They still have some tread on them. But the guy was quick to point out these suckers are old. And I went, oh, okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's the way that you looked at them. He was very careful to ask me, are they all the same size tire? I assumed that they were, but I hadn't really checked. I did check and found out that the two that go on the back of a BMW, I think, or maybe it's the front, but I think it's the back, are a little slightly wider than the two that go on the front. At least they were with this guy's car. Everything else was the same kind of radius and et cetera. But there was a slight difference there. So I checked that out. Guy goes, okay, I'm on my way. Well, they were listed for $1,500, but they are tires that are 20 years old, right? There's still some good tread on them, but they're still 20-year-old tires. So you're probably not going to put those back on the road, and he's going to have to go buy four more tires. Anyway, he may have walked out with the deal of the century, but I don't think so. I think all things considered, it gave me $280 cash. He got four old tires, and everybody wins, right? The person that had me haul away the tires gets a $98 refund. That's how you make money with our company, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. You pay us to haul the stuff away, you get a refund coming back if we sell some of your stuff. The interesting thing about this case is that those tires, there was four of them on their rims, plus, and the rims were kind of scratched up all around, and they'd been sitting in a lady's garage for 20 years or something. So they were not the cleanest, brightest tires that you're going to put on and go take your car to a showroom somewhere and auction it off. They needed some TLC, but they had been sitting for probably 2 months stacked up in the back of my truck. And as I'm driving around, job here, job there, here are four tires. And every once in a while, they tip over and they fall over in the truck, and I put them back up again, you know. And I've been dealing with these things for 2 months. It took me 6 weeks before I even put them up for sale. Right? Shame on me. But I finally put them up for sale about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. Listed them for $1,500. Didn't really get much interest at that price. Was going to drop it to $1,000. And a guy called me, and he sounded like he knew what he was doing with tires, and I think he does. So I just sold him for about $300, and I'm very happy about it. Ran that money down to the bank, right? And I mean, I can go out in 94 degree weather and load up a pickup truck of junk removal and get paid $200 for that. Or I can sit in my air-conditioned truck, have some guy drive here from D.C. half an hour, look at the tires, put them in his, back of his car, and get $300. Well, there's the value of selling the stuff. So I did that just before I came in to do this radio show, ran the money down to the bank, and I was thrilled. Just that's the value of what I call a statement that I came up with called "Not all junk is junk," right? Every other company that I know of would have taken those tires and thrown them somewhere or discarded them or whatever. We go in and put them up for sale because somebody could use them. Well, sure enough, somebody's used them. We've sold sets of tires for $1,500 before where people drove to Maryland from Ohio just to get the set of tires. I think they were tires from a Tesla that we sold. So there's all kinds of good stuff that happens that way, and we just had it happen today, an hour ago, when I sold some BMW tires. I put down number six, gas at 7-Eleven. If you want to get a good deal on gas, and I'm buying diesel gas right now, 7-Eleven's got the best price, less than $5 a gallon, and because I'm a rewards member at 7-Eleven and I punch in my phone number whenever I buy, a muffin and some orange juice in the morning or something, I have like 47,000 points at 7-Eleven right now. And they give me, when I show that I'm a rewards member, they give me another 7 cents a gallon off. So gas at 7-Eleven is a pretty good deal right now. And they've got a thing going through, I guess it's over because it's past July 11th. They had another thing going where you could send a text in and you get 50 cents a gallon off on the 7th and the 11th of the month, which I thought was really cool. All right, I'm up to number seven. I'm halfway through the show and I'm two-thirds of the way through our time, but I'm making up ground here. So we will be back in a minute. We're going to take another break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network, where we're talking about how to get the junk out of your home and also how to get it out of your life. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from 94 Degree, Rockville, Maryland. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Rockville, Maryland, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern on the world's longest-running junk removal radio show, where we try to teach you not only how to get the junk out of your home and out of your garage, but also out of your life. Item number seven, God bless our president, Donald Trump. But here we go. I wrote down here, he made a statement the other day. You know, sometimes he just kind of shoots from the hip and kind of acts like he knows everything. Now, before you pile, criticism on me, I voted for the guy, okay? So, but I'm not a Trump fanatic, right? I just liked him over Kamala, so I voted for Trump. But he doesn't know what the future price of gas is going to be. And he was talking about it the other day, and he made the statement that pretty soon you'll see gas at the pumps for $2.50 a gallon. No, you won't. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be either, but I'd bet my life it's not going to drop that low. It's going up right now. A president of the United States doesn't know the future price of gas. Sorry. Nobody knows the future price of gas or any other commodity or of a stock or whatever. I was a broker, stockbroker for 10 years. I know a little bit about commodities markets and about stock prices and all that kind of stuff. Nobody knows what the future price of something is going to be. They might think that they do, but they don't. And that includes the President of the United States. So if the President of the United States steps up and says, you know, pretty soon gas is going to be around $2.50 a gallon and everybody cheers, I'm sorry, but if you're cheering, you're naive. Okay? Love you, but you're naive. And I once heard him make a statement that he knows more about the tractors made at John Deere than the John Deere employees. No, you don't. With all due respect, Mr. President, you don't. So stop acting like you do, because your credibility drops every time you shoot your mouth off with one of these predictions that you think you know what's going on. And frankly, you don't. Nobody does. So anyway, had to mention that one real quick. Another sale. This is number eight. We've had some fun with some small tool sets that we've sold for as little as $25. These are like 32 open-end wrenches in one plastic container that we got from a job we did in Hagerstown, Maryland. And we have sold some of these things, and it's worked out great. You know, $25 here, $30 here, $50 here, and pretty soon it adds up. Instead of throwing them away like a lot of other companies would have, you know, thrown them in the dump or whatever, or taking them home or whatever, we try to make some money out of it. Number nine, I wrote down Johnny's example. Last night, I took a riding lawnmower, a Craftsman riding lawnmower, over to a guy named Johnny on Seneca Road in Darnestown, Maryland, because he wanted to buy it. Now, this story is a pretty good story. This lawnmower, this riding lawnmower, was given to us by a realtor who has referred us to lots of his clients over the years. And the realtor had it serviced a couple of years ago. Then it sat in his shed. He doesn't like to get out and get on the lawnmower and mow his grass. He pays someone else to mow his grass. So the lawnmower is sitting there not getting used. So he paid us some money to haul it away. I took it over to a guy whose number I got off of his truck when he was sitting in Wendy's drive-up line, and I drove past him and noticed that he did small engine repair. So I took it over to him to have him check it out because the realtor said, you know, it's been sitting for a while. It's not starting. I don't know what the problem is, et cetera. Well, the guy, the small engine repair guy, got it started, said there's something about, you know, he was twisting the top of the engine that rotates when you start this thing up. He mentioned something about that to me. He said, go get a new battery for it, and I think you'll be all right. Well, I did. I spent $100 having him analyze this lawnmower, and I spent $90 on a new battery. I put the new battery in. I pushed the clutch down. I turned the key, and whammo, fired right up. So I listed it for sale after looking for this brand of mower that some of these are selling used on eBay for $1,000. I listed it for like $1,200, then no takers. I dropped it down to eventually $600. Guy said, I dropped it, I think, to $1,000, and the guy came in and offered me $600. That was Johnny. I went, well, okay, I've spent $200 on it. I'll make a $400 profit. That's not bad. I'll do that. I loaded the tractor up last night. I drove it about 10 minutes away. We offloaded it at about 8 p.m. in the dark, and Johnny hopped on and put his foot on the clutch and turned the key, and it was stuck. It wouldn't start. Well, we figured out how to get it started, but there's a thing called a cam. In engine terminology, there's a thing called a camshaft, which is a part of an engine's motor, basically. It's a critical part, and this cam in this little riding lawnmower was apparently sticking. We eventually got it started, but there's a chance that if that cam were to permanently stick, basically it blows the engine and bye-bye riding lawnmower. Johnny had a couple of options here. His one option was, hey, it's not starting, and I'm going, I'm sorry, I didn't stop to start it before I brought it here, but I did start it up about a month ago. It has a brand new battery. I kind of thought it was going to fire right up. He could have said, well, you idiot, why didn't you start it up before you brought it here? That's what he could have said, but he didn't. What he said was, hey, I hate to see you come all the way out here and not get anything, but the problem is It's got a, and we called the guy that did the analysis of it, and he explained, yeah, it's probably a camshaft issue, and here's how you fix it, and blah, blah, blah. Well, the bottom line is Johnny gave me $200 for the tractor, and he inherited what the repairman said would typically be about a $400 repair that Johnny's going to try and do himself. And I got it off my truck and at least went back to my storage unit with some cash, right? I could have gone back and just with the tractor, and then I just wasted all my time. I was impressed with how Johnny handled this. He was as concerned about me and my time as he was about him and his purchase of a tractor. Johnny's a landscaping, cement kind of handyman kind of guy. He'll fix this up, I think. And for $200, it's worth it to him to get a tractor that he can play around with and try to fix it up. And if that thing runs for a while, then he's got a good deal. If he has to pay $400 more to fix it, then he has to pay $400 more to fix it. And he's basically got a $600 tractor that's worth about $600, and it's going to go down in value as he uses it. I was so impressed with Johnny's example that he was as concerned about my well-being in this deal as he was about his own well-being. That is a rarity. That is the old Stephen Covey think win-win idea, and Johnny did it perfectly, and I loved how he did it and the way it worked out. And I went home with at least, you know, I could have gone home with nothing. Then I wasted, you know, an hour and a half of time. But at least I came back with $200 and a chance to do something different. And I got rid of the lawnmower and it emptied part of it out of my storage unit, you know, and that all worked. So I thought that was great. All right, so I'm on number 10. I got five more to do in about 12 or 11 minutes. Common law marriage. I got to tell you, I was involved in a situation recently with somebody that after knowing them for a few months, I learned that they were involved in a common law marriage for about 20 years. Now, those of you that are in the dating world like I am, and I've been a veteran of like 13 years in this game, I didn't really know much about these. But let me tell you what I learned. There are about 15 states in the United States, and this section of the show comes under the heading of how to get the junk out of your relationships, okay? There's about 15 states in the United States that recognize common law marriages. A common law marriage is where you don't have a ceremony, you don't get a marriage license, you don't have a pastor or a bishop pronouncing it, you don't invite anybody to the wedding, there is no wedding. A common law marriage is where two people get together and say, we're going to act like husband and wife, we're going to call each other husband and wife, we're going to do everything married couples do except get married in an official sense. And so I've known people who for 20 years were involved in this type of a thing. What I didn't realize is it's kind of a loose thing to and an easy thing to get involved in, and there are 15 states plus the District of Columbia that recognize these as legit, right? But the problem is if you enter into one of these marriages, you have to go through an official divorce proceeding, just like with a regular marriage. You have to go through the divorce proceeding to end it. So if you end up dating somebody and find out 2 or 3 months in that they had a common law marriage, guess what? They're still married if they haven't done a divorce. Welcome to my world, folks. And so here I am, really excited about somebody who's a really cool person and stuff, and still is. But lo and behold, from everything I can tell, they're still married. Well, sorry, I can't date you. I mean, I guess I could, but I don't want to. You're still married. So, you know, come back to me with an official signed decree of divorce from a local judge, and then, you know, I'll take you out to dinner. But until then, sorry, we got a problem. And this was a new one. I didn't know much about common law marriages. I'm passing it along to you in case you happen to be dating somebody and the words common law marriage show up. Do your homework and Google it. And everything that I can tell and talking to a couple of attorneys, family law attorneys, basically said, this person's married. That's the status unless they've gone through a divorce. So there you go. A little bit of words of wisdom just for somebody who learned it, you know, in a way that I wasn't expecting. I want to talk to you about a thing called councils, or this was a church council thing that we did last night. Sometimes in different churches, in our church for sure, and in other churches I'm sure, and this applies also to PTA meetings, meetings where you have a group of people, especially a small group of people, you're coming together to discuss some kind of a concern. The most important thing you can do in that meeting is to share your concern, even if the bulk of the people in the room are not going to agree with you, even if you think you're adding to the disruptment of the meeting instead of the calmness of the meeting. The purpose of telling what you think in a meeting like this is to give the decision makers your input. And if your input disagrees with the direction they're going, I'm here to tell you, they still want to get your input. And don't worry, nobody's going to fire you for not being a team player. The worst thing you can do is go into a meeting like this and keep your mouth shut if you disagree with what's going on. Have the guts to say what's on your mind and make your point known. I was in a church meeting last night where this happened, and the guy who was bringing up his concern kept apologizing for bringing up an issue that, you know, might rub somebody wrong. And as the guy directing the meeting, I said, hey, you're not doing anything wrong. In fact, this is a perfect example of what you should do in a meeting. When you have a concern about something, you should raise that concern and tell people what you think. Then people can talk about it as a group, we can discuss it, and we can come up to some kind of a decision about what to do. So bless his heart, he did that, and he did a great job. And the end result is that we were able to solve a problem that existed in his organization, in our church. We came up with some ideas about how to solve that problem, and everybody was blessed as a result of him bringing up the issue. So one of the ways to get the junk out of your mind is to say something and put it on the table about some issue that's bothering you, and then you can go from there, and everybody's off and running again, and that's what happened last night. Number 12, a weight set. I did a job yesterday. By the way, it's 97 degrees right now in Rockville, Maryland. I said 94. It's hotter than that. I did a job yesterday by myself a few miles from here where I went up to the 8th floor apartment. Thank heavens, when you come out of the freight elevator, which was locked and reserved for us, the guy's apartment was right there next to the elevator. That's always nice compared to those jobs where it's down at the end of a long hallway. But I hauled away some stuff for him, about 3 pickup trucks full of stuff. And one of the things that we did, we hauled away a weight set with a weight bench and about 400 pounds of dead weight, right? Like the barbell and the weights and the weight bar and all that stuff. But I did the job by myself, which kind of surprised the guy, but it wasn't so bad. It actually worked out pretty well. It looks like, and that was yesterday, we picked this thing up. He had scheduled one of the big companies in the United States, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He had scheduled them to come and do it yesterday at 10 o'clock because he wasn't sure if he would hear back from us after he called us. He had scheduled the other guys. We, from a pricing standpoint, are probably 25 to 30%, maybe even more, below this big company, which is a great company, by the way. So he canceled them and had us come in, and I love it when that happens because people are going to save money. So that was the first thing. It pays to shop around. And if you've got some of these big junk removal companies coming in, I'm here to tell you, you're probably getting overcharged. With all due respect to the great companies they are, be careful because there's a lot of expensive charges being levied on people from some of these big companies. But the good news is we've got somebody tonight who it looks like is going to buy the weight set for a couple of $100. We ended up hauling the stuff out for $700. The client thought it was going to be at least $1,000. I think they would have been charged $1,200 or $1,300. So we saved the guy $500 approximately by switching the appointment from them to us. I love it when people do that. And now we put his weight set up for sale, and we've got an offer of $200 for the weight set. And if that goes through and gets picked up tonight, he'll end up getting $70 or $80 or something back from the sale of that weight set, which knocks his cost now down to about $625 or $630. Now, show me another junk removal company that will save you money on the junk removal, then be smart enough to take the good weight set and put it up for sale and sell it within 24 hours and give you money back from the sale, which reduces your cost of the job, when they could sell it and never tell you what they did with it. They could take it to a scrap metal yard and throw it all away and get 20 or 30 bucks for it. But in this case, if this sale goes through and they actually show up and buy it, and I think they will, this guy will end up getting 60 or 70 bucks, 35% of the sales price, which is 70 bucks. He'll end up getting that back within 24 hours of paying us to haul it away. Show me another junk removal company that does that for you. That's what sets us apart. I've got three more things. Oh, and the got junk job was number 15. So I only got two more to come up with. All of us pretty much hate to step on a weight scale because we don't want the bad news that we're heavier than we thought. I have not stepped on a weight scale in a long time, and I went to my 50-year high school reunion last month. I was the MC of the program, the dinner program, for about an hour, and we had name tags for everybody, plus their high school pictures. Without exception, and I had a lot of friends in high school, without exception at that event, when someone came up and said hi and called me by my first name, I said hi, and then I immediately looked at their name tag to figure out who it was I was talking to. Because I didn't recognize people, right? But people were calling me, my name, you know, from 10 feet away. Hey, Alan, how are you? Hey, Alan, how are you? You know, stuff like that. So I felt pretty good about that, that people could still recognize me when I couldn't recognize a lot of my classmates. Then, oh, so they take a picture of me next to my best friend from ninth grade, who has probably put on 150 pounds since then, and is a shorter guy. And 150 is probably an exaggeration, but he didn't look the same, right? So they took a picture of me standing next to him and sent me that photo, and I look like a tall, thin guy. Well, that makes you feel good, right? Then a week, two or three weeks later, this was last Sunday in church, they took a picture, a friend took a picture of me standing next to a guy who had spoken in church. The guy who spoke in church is a skinny, medium-sized guy. And standing next to him, I look like I've put on 30 pounds. And that bugged me. So when I go into the scrap metal yard, they have little scales in the back where you can just hop on the scale and instantly it'll tell you what you weigh. And I've thought about doing that for months and months. But I just thought, no, I don't want, you know, bad news to ruin my day. So, and I'm an active guy and I'm out there loading furniture and moving around. It's not like I'm sitting home behind a desk, you know, getting lethargic or whatever. And so I decided just to hop on the scale because of this picture that I, you know, they took of me on Sunday. And lo and behold, it instantly told me what my weight was, and it was 15 pounds lower than what I was afraid it was going to tell me. So all I want to say to you is, and we'll wrap up with this thought, and so see, now it's a game. Now I can't wait to go back and see if eating salads and drinking a lot of water is going to lose even more weight for me. So now it's a game. Now I know where I am. I know what I weigh. And I was pleasantly surprised. I told somebody over there, it's like Christmas, come early. I'm pleasantly surprised. Don't be afraid to find out the truth of where you are. Weight-wise, financial-wise, if you haven't looked at your credit score in a while, go look at your credit score. Find out where you are and then from there you can make some plans to improve. Until you know where you are, there's no way you can make some plans to move forward. And life is all about having a great experience and having some progress along the way. So we'll close with that thought. I got 14 out of 15 done. That's not bad for this kid. And thanks for listening to Junk Refund Show. We'll be back next Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. God bless all of you. Have a great week. And come here Thursdays at 3 if you want to learn how to get the junk out of your home, your garage, and also out of your life. I'm your host, Alan Cook. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.